Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim Ingram from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank you personally for joining us today. And I'd love to connect with you on social media at HighRidgeLV, that's our handle. Or check us out online if you would. Our website is highridgechurch.com and then click on the Longview tab to connect with us. Hope this message blesses you and encourages you. Hope it challenges you. Let's grab your Bibles, tune into the Word. God bless. So glad you made it. Welcome. I want to welcome in all those that are listening in online. So High Ridge family, give them a warm round of applause as they tune in this morning. Welcome. We are so glad that you're with us, at least in spirit. Those of you sitting at home afraid of coronavirus, the rest of us are here living by faith. I don't know what your excuse is, weirdos. No, we're so glad that you're here. We get to start a brand new series today. This is called In the News. We're going to talk about things that people are really worried about, things that people are discussing. I found that in many churches, we're busy answering questions that literally no one is asking. So let's get to the point. Let's get down to where people live. Let's bring some real answers to real concerns. All of this is based on one scripture that we found in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 7 says this, "The beginning of wisdom is this," and then very simply, "get wisdom, get wisdom." It says, though it cost you all you have, get understanding. The Lord wants to give us some wisdom this morning. He wants to give us a little bit of understanding. He wants us to help us to understand biblical truth for today's concerns. So I was drawn to an article that let me know Twitter's top concerns. And I wanted to see what are the things that the majority of people are talking about, blogging about, discussing. And it had a wonderful list of things that I didn't really realize were that big of a deal. But unfortunately, our world is very confused about a lot of things. They don't understand how the truth of God's word can give them clarity for the things that they're really discussing. And so the concerns, number one concern, the thing that people are most discussing is health. And I'm thinking, okay, absolutely, people want to know how to not be so fat and how to work out better. But actually, no, physical health and questions and discussions about physical health is down 125%. It's not physical health. It's emotional, spiritual, sexual, and relationship health. These are the things that people are talking about, asking about, worried about, blogging about, discussing. How does God's word shed light onto the questions that people are really asking? And so we're going to get down to where people live. I want to teach you a little bit from God's word this morning and show you how to answer questions that our world is asking. There are some concerns here, some major problems that we have with what our culture is telling us with what the Bible said is to be true. And so as we're digging into God's word, I want to point you to two passages of scripture. And the first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll move from there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Today's message, the title of it is More Than Skinny and Hot. More than hot and skinny, more than skinny and hot. We're going to talk about health today, past just physical health. I heard a great quote one time from a lady named Joan Rivers. If you don't know who that is, don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal, except she had a ton of plastic surgery. And they asked her one time, as she's getting to the end of her life, are you going to donate your body to science? And she says, no, there's so much plastic in here, I might as well donate it to Tupperware. If you don't know what Tupperware is, you're probably under 30. That's okay. We'll fill you in later. Let's just keep going. Let me just tell you, plastic can mask good health. You can put a lot of plastic surgery and make it look like you're healthy, but plastic doesn't fix spiritual health. And so as we get into the authority of God's word today, I want to draw your attention to a couple of scriptures and allow the authority of God's word to speak truth into our lives. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as the Apostle Paul begins to combat some lies that the Corinthian church had bought into. You see, the Corinthian church was surrounded by all different kinds of religion, and these religions all had sexual practices inside of their religion. They mixed sex and worship and sex, and they didn't understand why they weren't healthy. And so here's the Apostle Paul trying to give them wisdom and show them that you need to separate these two things out, that these things affect each other negatively, that what God wants for you is a pure love, and that how you understand it needs to be changed. And so let's speak into this today, and let's see what God's word has to say about this. Starting in verse 12, we'll just look through these next 8 verses. And he says this, I have the right to do anything. And by the way, you notice that this is in quotes because this is a common saying of the day. I have the right to do whatever I want. And this worked very, very well into the grace message. People hear the story of grace. Oh, you mean God forgives me for all my mistakes? Well, that means I have the right to do whatever I want. This is a very American saying 2,000 years ago. I have the right to do anything. He said, but not everything is beneficial. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can bear arms doesn't mean that you should kill people. Do we need to hit that a little bit harder? I mean, we do understand that, right? There's a difference between can and should. And so he says this, I have the right to do anything, you say, but I don't want to be mastered by anything. I don't want this to have authority over me. It's a control issue that he's talking about here. So he's saying you have the rights, that you're talking about your rights. What are you talking about? He goes on to say, you say, food for the stomach and stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. Now, this sounds like something completely different than what it actually is. So food for the stomach, stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. It's a very common saying of the day. That meant our body gets hungry. We have an appetite. And just like our body gets hungry, we have the same appetite for sexual things. And just as we feed ourselves when we get hungry, and we're not guilty about that, even though some of us should be, well, then the opposite must be true. Just like our body hungers for food, our body hungers for sexual things, and so it's natural. We should feed that all the time. We should do that in any way with anything that we want. We can eat what we want. And so as Paul is talking about grace, they're like, that sounds awesome. I can get forgiven. I don't have to live in guilt of any of this. I can just eat what I want, and I can have sex how I want to do it. Paul says, wait a minute. You're letting something become your master. You're getting something messed up in your mind. This is unhealthy. He goes on to say this. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. He's to be Lord of your body. Sexual immorality is very clearly defined in God's word as any sex that's outside the covenant of marriage. This is sin. And it's a shame that churches don't preach this anymore. But you need to know this. I'm surprised how many people just don't know. But we've not been taught. We've not been told. It says, by his power, God has raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. We wouldn't do that. It says, don't you know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. I want you to remember that word flesh. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. There's the second word I want to focus on. Flesh and spirit. Spirit and flesh. And then he says, flee from sexual immorality. Another scripture says, flee from youthful lust. Flee from that. I was drawn to that word flee because I thought, well, surely in the original language of Greek, that word flee means just to run away, right? But it actually means more than that. The word flee means to literally get out of town. So he's saying, you don't just need to walk away from it. You don't just need to run away from it. You need to leave town. Like, get as far away from this sexual sin as you can. This matters. This is unhealthy for you. And even though our culture teaches that it's okay and it's your body and you have the right to do whatever you want with your body, God is saying, there's something different. It's not healthy. Just because people say you can, that doesn't mean that you should. There's a better way. There's God's way. God's way brings health to you. And we can't continue to believe the lie that we can take sexual sin and say we're somehow healthy the more that we sin. It's not true. It's not true. It's a lie that we need to expose today. God's word gives us something much better. He goes on to say this. All other sins that a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And by the way, I've heard this scripture when it says your bodies are temples. This is a scripture that most pastors use and say, this is why you can't have a tattoo. This is why you can't pierce your nose. Your body is a temple. And I always say, you know, yeah, my body's a temple, but God doesn't mind if I hang a couple pictures on the wall. Somebody, come on. You ever seen a temple? You got great artwork. I'm here to tell you, the Bible may not say this, but good tattoos aren't cheap, and cheap tattoos aren't good. That's just a divine moment. I had to let that out to make sure you know. If you're going to do it, hey, spend some money, get a design, get somebody who knows what they're doing. Don't let your cousin do it like I did. Though it costs you all you have, get wisdom and good tattoos. He says this, You are not your own. So here's a scripture starting with, look at all the things I have a right to do. I have the right to do this. No. You're not your own. It's not about your rights. It's about what he says is right and wrong. I'm not my own. I don't belong to me. He says, you were bought at a price. Jesus purchased you on the cross. And at that moment that you asked him to be the Lord and Savior of our life, he took that seriously. He wants to be Lord of all. He wants to help you with this. It says, therefore, honor God with your bodies. Our culture has lost the power and the authority that is in that scripture to honor God with our bodies. So I want to confront three lies that the Corinthian church had bought into that we still buy into today. These lies are still prevalent in the church. They're especially prevalent in our country, but they're things that need to be exposed to the authority and the truth of God's word. And the first lie is simply this. Christianity is about the spirit, so the body doesn't matter. Christianity is all about spiritual things. The body doesn't matter. I can separate what I do on Friday night from what I do on Sunday morning. I can still love God, honor God, worship God. And then whenever Sunday service is over, I can do whatever I want. I have the right to do what I want with my own body. You're walking into something extremely unhealthy. He wants to be Lord of not just your Sunday, but of Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I heard Pastor Rick Warren say one time that we're out sowing our wild oats on Saturday night and praying for crop failure on Sunday morning. You'll get that later. It shouldn't be that way. Christianity is about the spirit. So what I do with my body, that doesn't matter. This is a lie. They're very much connected. What you see, what you bring into your life, what you listen to, what you're watching, those things have an effect on you that you might not realize, but it leads you to a place of extreme unhealthiness spiritually. It affects you more than you know. Somebody say amen. We need to get into the power of God's word. Let's expose some lies of the enemy today. It matters what you watch. His word says that we're to have nothing to do with evil things, but rather expose them. We don't like that. We want to go to a church which says, I have the right to do whatever I want. You just tell me how Jesus is going to make everything awesome in heaven. No, Jesus wants to make everything awesome now. He wants to help you. There's health for you. As a matter of fact, when it says in verse 16, the two shall become one flesh, it's interesting that in the original language, what you would normally see when they say the word flesh is the word soma in Greek language, which means the body. The two become like one body. And we can get that in our minds, but that's not the word that the Apostle Paul uses here. He uses the Greek word sarx, which doesn't mean just the body. It means your human nature. He's saying what you're doing when you're committing sex outside of marriage, when you're walking into sexual immorality, when you're allowing sexual sin into your life, you're feeding your human nature. And you're walking away from things of the Spirit. There's parts of you that are unsubmitted to the power of the Holy Spirit because you're busy saying, this is my body, this is my choice, I do what I want. Do you see the difference? He said, no, you're feeding your human nature. There's something better for you. It's much more healthy if you do it God's way. You still with me? It's the same word that Jesus says in Acts chapter 2 when he says, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He uses the word sarx there as well. Not just saying I'm going to pour out my spirit on every human being. No. He says I'm going to pour it out on every part of every person that has unredemption or has unyielded things in their spirit. I want to redeem that. I want to be Lord of all, not just of some. But we've bought into the lie that Christianity is about the spirit, so my body doesn't matter. Let me tell you this morning, there is a high price to pay for low living, and you need to know this. You're going to be rewarded by what you do with and how you honor God with the gift of your body. You sound like you don't believe me. Let me show you in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice it says, all, every single person that has ever lived or breathed is going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it says this, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while, somebody say the next three words, in the... We're going to receive reward based upon the things we've done while in the body, whether good or bad. There's a reward for bad living, and you don't want it. You don't want it. God rewards us based upon how we use all of his gifts. And your body is a gift from God. It matters how you treat it and what you bring into it. It affects your health. This is why it says in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, no, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave. So I'm not just led about by my body's urges. I'm not a slave to my body. It's a slave to me. It's going to do what I say instead of I'm just following around after my urges and after my lust and what I think I want because I have the right to do it. No. I strike a blow to that. I beat that up. I want to be led by his spirit, not by my urges. And the good news is you can be. You absolutely can be. And somewhere along the line, we've bought into this lie that I'm just the way that I am. I can't fix this. I've tried before and I can't get better. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. There is absolute freedom in Christ. Here's the second lie that Paul is exposing. God forgives, so I can do what I want. Now, in church circles, we call this greasy grace or sloppy agape, which means, you know, God has grace for me, so it doesn't matter what I choose. I can do whatever I want to do. I can live however I want to live. And I'll just come back and ask God for forgiveness. He'll make it all okay. Let me tell you, that's a horrible way. That's a very unhealthy way of seeing God's grace. God's grace is not just here to forgive you of your sins. It's here to empower you to rise above them. You're better than that. We're better than that. He gives us strength to not have to live that way anymore. It's unhealthy. And you need to know this today. And I want to apologize from the bottom of my heart. If you've never heard this, if you've never been exposed to this, let me just tell you, this is the truth. But so many people are afraid of offending people. I'm not afraid of offending you. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, but it's good for you. It hurts to get a shot. Sometimes it hurts to get penicillin, but it brings health. It brings health. It's good for you. Well, God forgives me so I can just do whatever I want. No, Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Are we going to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? I'm dead to that. I don't want to go back to that lifestyle. I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't want to be led by it. Galatians 5 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm and don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Slavery. We live as a slave to our lust and a slave to our sins, as a slave to our urges. And Paul is saying, look, that's an unhealthy way to live. God has set you free. You just need to get this into your mind that you're better than this. We believe a lie. We can do whatever we want and that there's no penalty for it. That we can do whatever we want and God will just forgive. That's the unhealthy way of looking at God's grace. He wants to empower us to get better. He wants to give us hope. He wants us to see that we don't have to live that way any longer. Somebody say amen. Here's the third lie that we have still bought into, just like the Corinthians have, and that's that evil things don't affect me. Evil things don't affect me. Well, I can look at that. It's not that big of a deal. It doesn't affect me. Lie. It doesn't affect my children. Lie. It doesn't affect my grandchildren. That's a lie. We are sowing spiritual seeds that produce fruit that you don't want to eat. You don't want to see the fruit when it is full grown in your family and in your children and your children's children. You don't want to sow those kinds of seeds into your genealogy. Evil things don't affect me. I've got a control over this. I can separate that out. I can handle it. No, you can't. No, you can't. You know, and in this situation, Paul is talking about how they've mixed prostitution and made prostitution part of worshiping God. He's like, are you crazy? Now, we would never say that today. We can't mix prostitution and Jesus. We don't mix those. We don't have a separate room for prostitutes on Sunday morning. But this is what they had. But you know what we do have? We have 64% of Christian men still struggling with pornography. This is not just some creepy old guy in the corner that's doing this. This is affecting heavily every single young man in some way or another. Starting at the age of 9, we are exposed to this, and this has just become normal for us. And churches have stopped talking about it and preaching about it. And in the process, we've told people that it's normal. We just keep it a secret. You got real quiet on me all of a sudden. This is not just a men problem either. This is a third of all internet users, when they're looking at pornography, are female. Female. This is not normal. This is not normal. This is not what Christ has called us to be. This is exactly what Paul is talking about. This is not healthy for you. And the good news is there is hope. You don't have to live that way. And I love being able to stand here today and tell you that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There are people that have gotten free from this. And just because we don't talk about it doesn't mean that there's not hope. We've ignored it. And in the process, we've watched our young men and young women and our old men and old women walk into the same trap. And at 64% of Christian men, it cannot be ignored anymore. My brother, my sister, there is hope. There's hope. There is freedom. And it doesn't have to keep you bound any longer. This can break off today. It is not as strong as you think it is. It is simply not. It is not stronger than the authority of your God. I'm telling you, God has the ability to give you strength to rise above this. It's called His grace. It's called His love for you. But we bought into this lie that evil things don't affect me. This is evil. It's evil. Proverbs 7 says this, "Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil." This brings health to your bodies and nourishment to your bones. Oh, someone would say, "But Pastor, that's old school preaching." It's not old school. It's right and wrong. Right and wrong. And I'm not here to condemn you. I'm simply saying we can't ignore this anymore. We have to call sin what it is and then tell you that there's grace for you. Not to just forgive you, but to empower you to rise above it. Above it. It doesn't have authority over you. You're a child of God. Have you forgotten who you belong to? Have you forgotten who your source is? Let's not believe in these enemies' lies that this is just normal. No, there's a new normal coming. Let us speak that in faith over you. If you find yourself struggling in that, there's a new normal coming for you, and it's called freedom. Freedom. Jesus says this in John 8, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's the good news that I bring today. The truth sets people free. When I can expose the enemy's lies, when I can see the truth and the authority of God's word, something happens in my heart. There's an opportunity for freedom. Chains come off, and I can run towards freedom. But Paul says, unfortunately, many of us walk back into our cages and put our shackles back on and say, "I'm just not used to living that way." We call this becoming institutionalized. It's just how it is. So I'm more comfortable this way. And it becomes this deep-seated root that's hard to get free from until Jesus walks in. So the healthy truth is, let me give you some truth, by the way, to back this up. We've exposed the lies that the church believed then, that the church still believes now. Let's talk about the healthy truth that brings freedom. And number one, the healthy truth is biblical health starts in the soul. It's from the inside out. This is where God takes us and begins to wash us clean, begins to fill us with the Holy Spirit, and it begins to manage us and push us towards things that we know are right into this new area of freedom where we're not walking around the same issue over and over and over again. And we're taking a new road. You know, your soul gets dirty based upon the things that we surround ourselves with. Our culture's full of dirty and evil things. We don't even hardly recognize it anymore because it's just part of who we are and where we live, the way we talk, what we see, what we hear. These are the things that we're worshiping without even knowing that we're worshiping them. And your soul is highly affected by these things. And when God takes you and washes you and sets you free, sets you clean, such a wonderful feeling. That's why the Bible says when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't just say this is a one-time thing. The original language says be continually filled, be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled again with the power of His Holy Spirit. This is why it's so important for you to get into church on Sunday morning. Why? Because there's a cleansing for your soul that happens when you're getting washed with the water of the Word. Something happens on the inside where God begins to take all the junk of the week and wash you clean. It's like an East Texas windshield. And there's things that happen to East Texas windshields that don't happen in any other part of the country. But I'm telling you, once a year you get that green snow and that sludge from all the different trees. You've been in East Texas long, you're going to see this. Your car gets covered with this East Texas green powder. And it's nasty. You got to wash that stuff off quick. And then you hit the season of love bugs. Right between here and Lufkin, if you've ever made that drive, oh, It sounds like somebody's hitting your car with a billion different small, tiny pellets. Just as you're driving down 59 and watching all these bugs hit your windshield. You got to get those things off quick. They stink, and they're hard to scrape off. You got some East Texas redneck spitting his beach nut out and hitting your windshield. Come on. And you hit the little button on your stick shift, hoping that you have some wiper fluid still left in there. You ever been there? Like, oh, come on, spray my windshield, get that off. Our souls are the same way, the exact same way. And when you come into God's house on a Sunday morning, there's a cleansing that happens. He washes you. He sets you free, makes you clean. He says, now take this and let's do it again on Monday morning. Let's do it again on Tuesday. Spend some time with me. Let me clean you up. Let me show you how to rise above this. It's not just Sunday morning Jesus. It's every morning Jesus. Matthew 6 says, oh, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto you. And we believe that when the soul gets clean, God begins to move into every other part of your life. That's why we're not starting out with your finances this morning, because we need to get your soul clean first. Then God will start dealing with your money. When you get your soul clean first, and God begins to deal with your relationships. Get your soul clean first, God begins to deal with your mouth and how you talk to people. He begins to change your thoughts, which brings us to number two. Healthy thinking matters. Somebody say amen right there. It matters how we think. Because we can force ourselves to not act out on things, but inside, if we don't get a new mind, if we don't have that thing renewed, if we don't get it cleaned and washed, that we're constantly battling thoughts and just hoping not to act out on them. No, let's go to not just the fruit, but to the root, to the source. Get back to our soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions. Let's let God begin to wash those clean. Lord, give me a new mind. Help my thinking, Lord, to change. Healthy thinking matters. Paul says this in Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. God is not a cruel God that is telling you to do something in Scripture that he never empowers you to do. He's not that kind of God. He's saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and I'll show you how to do it. Give that to me. Give me your mind every morning. Let me wash your thoughts clean. You don't have to think the way that you've always thought. I'll give you new thoughts. He says, I'll take your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Give it to me. Healthy thinking matters. Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You're only as healthy as your heart. And when your heart gets corrupted and when it gets dirty, when it gets full of things that don't belong there, when you're operating outside of God's will and God's word and God's ways, we get dirty, we get filthy, and we can't help but act out on those things. We're led about by our urges. God wants to give you a new heart. He wants to clean it up. And he wants it to stay clean. The third thing is this. Healthy relationships push me. They push me. When I have some accountability, when I have a few friends that are around me pushing me to do something more than what I thought I could do, oh, there's something special there. This is why the groups are so important at this church. Because you need to understand that you're not alone. You're not the only one struggling in your area of struggle. No, you're not. As a matter of fact, the cool thing about following after God is that when you decide to take a step and get into a group, I promise you this, you're going to find someone in that group that's struggling with the exact same thing you are or has just come out of the thing that you're struggling with right now. Or you're going to find someone that's walking into something that you've had victory over. And you say, wait a minute, I've been there. Let me help you. And your relationships begin to push each other to get better. Accountability is a wonderful way where God begins to help us change the way that we think. His word says in James that we are to confess our faults, not to Jesus, one to another, so that you may be healed. You see, confessing your faults to Jesus will get you forgiveness, but confessing your faults one to another brings you healing. And this is the reason why so many people are living in secret sin and wondering why they've never been healed. God, would you heal me? God, would you heal me? And God's like, I've set it out a plan for you in my word. You need to just get into the right group. Let us help you do that. Don't isolate and live alone. Get into a group. Let them help you, and you help somebody else. We draw strength from each other. Healthy relationships push us. And by the way, they're incredibly fun. Fun. Our group leaders here at this church, by the way, are some of the most fun-loving people that I've ever seen in my life. And I love that because humor is inside of me. It's become a part of who I am. And let me tell you, that's not natural to me to be as humorous as I am. This comes from being set free. As a matter of fact, Psalms tells us this in chapter 32. Happy are those whose sins are forgiven. Healthy people are happy people. And happy people are healthy people. What is happiness? Happiness is those that have been forgiven of sin, who God is not charging all their wrongs against them. Happy are people that have been set free by Christ's blood and don't have to live as slaves to sin any longer. There's your happiness. Why can't I get happy? Why can't I figure this out? Why do I feel so unhealthy in my mind? And God is screaming at us through his word. You need me. 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 Let me change your heart. Let me change your mind. You surrounded yourself with unhealthy things, trying to find things that make you happy and don't realize it doesn't work. And our world is screaming at us, at the church, for answers. Help me. Help me. Depression, pornography, fear, anxiety. And there's answers for that in his word. Happy are those whose sins are forgiven, who have taken their needs to the cross and say, God, help me. Hope you're hearing this today. Proverbs 17 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And I've been on both sides of that scripture. I know what it feels like to have a crushed spirit, to feel like you're walking in failure, like nothing works. You can't get a handle on this, and you don't know why you're not happy. You got everything that you want, everything the world says that you need, and you're miserable. You ever been there? Come on, have you ever been there? Been there. Something missing, and there's a God-shaped hole right in the middle of it. And our world says, you don't need that. That's old school. God is saying, what about me? Won't you give that to me? There's help for you. There's hope for you. Try it my way. It's better. It's better this way. It's healthy. It's good for you. Unhealthy cultures produce unhealthy people, and you're going to group with people that are a lot like you, whether it's in church or whether it's in a bar someplace. You're going to find an internet group of friends that will support what you believe in. So might as well get into a healthy culture. Healthy cultures produce healthy people. Happy cultures do the same. Happiness is people that have been forgiven of their sins. And number four, healthy discipline empowers me. When I start making good choices, when I start making biblical choices, it gives me the power to not just be forgiven of sin, but to rise above it, to not fall victim to the same thing that has kept me powerless for so long. You know, I debated on whether or not to even share this, but let me just be honest with you for just a second. My family, from as far back as I can remember, has stories after story after story of incredibly deviant sexual behavior. Horrible things that you don't talk about at parties, things you don't discuss even with a therapist. And you may have had a lineage that's a lot like mine. And praise God, by the way, if your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were Bible-believing, God-fearing people, that's amazing. I didn't have that. I had Bible reading, but not Bible living. And there were some amazing people that were able to rise up above that. I have some wonderful pastors in my family, but the odds were stacked against them. The molestation, the incest, the horrible sexual things that you would never talk about, those run through my family back for generations. Pornography and sexual sin was the normal for my family. And you hide it like a master. We go to church on Sunday and pretend like everything's okay. And if not for the grace of God, I take that same DNA and I pass it to my children, to their children, and I hide behind the excuse that this is just the way we are, the way we've always been, the way it always will be. I was born like this. God's authority and God's power. The truth of the matter is, I've been born again. I've been born into a new family. There's a new blood coming through my veins, and I don't have to live as a slave to those things any longer. And I've made a promise to myself that I wouldn't stand up here and begin to preach things that I wasn't living myself. And it's difficult to believe that just because things have always been that way, that they can actually change. I'm here to tell you today that there's freedom found in Christ. And if God can do it for me, He can absolutely do it for you. And just because it ran in my family for generations doesn't mean it has to keep running in my family anymore. It stops with you. It stops with me. It doesn't affect my children or grandchildren any longer. We're breaking the power of sin and its hold over my children, over my marriage, over my life. I know what it's like to live in failure and fear of exposure. Fear that people will find out if I don't erase my history. People will find out if I don't cover that conversation up. The people will find out. I know what it's like to live in that kind of fear. And the good news is God tells us through His Word in 2 Timothy 1:7, God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Self-control. You can be spirit-led. There's power that God has given us through His amazing love to be able to control yourself. And to not pass it on to your children. If He did it for me, He can do it for you. And it's just a shame that our world is screaming for answers, wondering why they can't find happiness, wondering why health is just a mirage. Well, all the while, the truth of God's Word is right in front of us, calling us back to something that we know is right, that we just ignored for so long. Hiding behind things like it's my right to do whatever I want to do. Let's expose that lie for what it is. Let's let the light of God's Word, let His truth shine upon that.
Well, I'm praying that that message challenged you and encouraged you to continue in your walk of faith with the Lord. Would you do something for me? Would you like and share this message with maybe your social media group, the people that you know might need this message? And then also, if you go to our website at highridgelv.com and click on the Giving tab, that would help us take the message of Jesus and spread it all around the world. God bless you. I hope you have an amazing week.